All right, so I promised myself I wouldn't cry, right? I promised myself I would not cry, and already I find myself crying. You may be seated. Please sit down. Thank you, guys. Wow. I can't believe this is happening in a good way and also in a sad way. I'm going to miss everybody here. It's been an amazing journey. When we first arrived here, it felt like home. My family was welcomed. Everybody just embraced us. And our pastors just loved on us. And we knew we were in the right place. And for the last 2 years, we got an opportunity to serve with you and do missions, outreach, and just do so many things for the community. I had the opportunity of teaching Growth Track to many of you and discipling you along the way and making sure that you became a transformer. So it's just been a humbling honor and a privilege to serve under these great pastors. I call them the coolest pastors on earth. and just to learn from them and sit underneath their wisdom and to learn. And I can't believe it. In our plan, we thought it would have been 3 to 5 years. Was the original plan that God, you know, we thought God had laid out for us. But little did we know that it would have been 2 years. And to let you know that I've always had a desire to be a senior pastor. It's here now. But when I came here at TC, Pastor gave me a book called the Armors Bearers, the name of the book, yes. And when I was reading that book, he told me, or the book encouraged me to say, you know what? As the armor bearer for your pastor, you put down your goals, you put down your dreams, you put down your ambitions, because now your goals, your ambitions are now to serve your pastor. And when I read that book, I said, yes, Lord. And I said, you know what? Lord, if you want me to be a senior pastor, you're going to have to talk to Pastor Joe, Pastor Ruth, because I have laid down that dream and I've given it over to you. And, you know, that was it. And I've been serving, and all of a sudden in May, I got a call from Pastor Joe, Pastor Ruth, and they just said, you know, come to the office. We want to pray with you. And as we prayed, we sensed the call of God in our life. My wife was there too. We just sensed that it was time. We were in the season now to go into this place of senior pastoring. And I'm like, what? I said, no, I'll never leave you. No. He said, no. God is telling me, how does that make you? And I said, no. No, you're my pastor. I'll never leave you. No, right? It felt like a Jedi movie or something, right? A young Padawan doesn't want to leave his master. And he said, no. I've taught you everything. And he said, go. May the force be with you. No, he didn't say that. But it was almost like that moment. He was like, you know, Glenn, I taught you. You and Pastor Adi and Pastor Ruth said, you know what? We've taught you everything. It's time. It's time for you guys to go out there. And I said, you know what? What you're saying to me, I confirm, you know, God is confirming in my heart, and let's go for it. Let's go for it. We had no idea that in a couple of weeks, we would get a call from Pastor. The pastor said, there's a church. There's a church in Queens. And I said, oh, yes. I said, oh, there's a church. I said, all right. He said, well, get your resume. Is your resume ready? I said, yes, it's ready. You told me to get it ready, so I got it ready. He said, all right, well, get it ready. Let's go. And I was like, yes. And I hung up the phone with Pastor Joe, and I said, Adi, this is our church. And my wife was like, I don't know about that. Let's not jump the gun. She said, let's not jump the gun. And I said, no. You don't understand. This is our church. I believe it. And I don't care what anybody says. I said, you know what? I'm not even really looking. I'm not putting my resume out there for anyone else. I said, this is our place. I believe it. And, you know, through counsel, I did eventually put my resume out there to other places. But I knew from the beginning, from the start, that this is where God had called us. And long story short, we're there. We're praying. And we're going through the process and believing God, trying to find out where would God have us. But I said, no, this is where we're going to be. This is the direction. And long and behold, through the process that we went through of them, you know, candidating, when we went down there, we just felt the peace of God. God confirmed that this was where we belong. And we said, yes, Lord. And long story short, we're the senior pastors at Bridge Community Church, and we start serving. Actually, tomorrow I start. It's my first day. I told my wife yesterday, I was like, what was I thinking? I said, man, I must have been so excited. I'm tired. And my wife was like, I know. I told you to take a break. I said, you know what? Well, we're just going to have to figure out that rest thing, but we're ready to go. And next Sunday will be my first Sunday there. And we're just so excited. We're just excited to be in a place where we're following the will of God for our lives. We love you all. You know, my mother-in-law is here. My brother-in-law is here. So during Thanksgiving and times when we're here, we'll definitely pop in. And this will always be family. This will always be home for us. And I have a few homes. I know when we first came here, what did I say? I said, I'll take off my shoes. I'm not going to take off my shoes today. But I do feel at home because I feel so comfortable and so loved here. And I thank God for our pastors for just opening their hearts to us, for teaching us, for guiding us, for ministering. Thank you guys so much for your patience and your wisdom and just being with us. And here we are. We just simply follow the steps of God. Not perfect people, but just humble people, and just say, God, whatever you have for us, what's your will? What's your plan? Here we are, Lord. Use us. And it always ached my heart to hear when we went to district council. District council, for those who may not be familiar, is the Assemblies of God, like a conference, if you will, for pastors. And the superintendent will always say, there are 65 churches out there without a pastor. There are 65. And I'm like, oh, my heart would just ache and bleed and say, God, if you want us, we're available, but not my will, yours be done. And God heard that prayer. You know, we're just servants. So today I want to continue today's prayer series, talking to Jesus, finding the will of God through prayer. And I'm sure all of us have been through seasons, or you're going through a season right now where you're not sure or certain what the will of God is for your life. I want to encourage you today that the will of God is not just some guessing game, just by chance or luck, or, you know, those talk shows or those game shows where you're hoping that if you put the right things in place, you'll get what you were hoping for. No, God's will can be determined and found out when we pray and when we seek his face, right? We're not rolling the dice. We're not gambling, trying to find God's will. No, God's will is made available for all of us. And God has a plan and purpose for every single one of our lives because we're all created differently. Right? And in order to find that place that God has for us, we're going to have to what? We're going to have to discern and sense what God is saying to us. And that word simply discern is the process. Okay. Go back. Oh, go forward. Sorry. Yeah, there we go. The process of determining God's will or God's desire in a situation for one's life. You see, it's a process. Today we're going to get into those three steps, but it's a process. And what? God has a plan in the future for us. And as we pray and as we seek the face of God, God will begin to reveal those plans and that purpose for our life. But it's for us to pray. It's for us to seek his face. Right? Does anyone in here suffer from anxiety or fear or not knowing what the future holds? I know sometimes you look at the news and you're like, oh my gosh, what does my future hold? You know, I'm going through this thing with a spiritual coach, and what he's saying is, he said, you know what, fast all social media for the whole week. That's my challenge this week. No news for you. Because why? There's so much going on. And I want to let you know something, that when we are in search of the will of God, it can be confusing at times. It can be complicated. But God is telling us today to pray, to seek his face. Don't be like the people who are at the grocery store who refuse to ask for directions because they're looking for sugar and they refuse to ask for directions. Is there anybody like that today? Where you would just keep on going through all of the whole, you go through the store, you walk around. And you're walking around. And there are people there to help you who are paid, who know where the aisles, who know where the sugar is, know exactly what you need and can help you. But instead of you going to them, you walk by them. I don't want to bother them. I don't want to play like I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you don't know. Well, just ask for help. It will save you time. And I know for me, there have been times, and I still go through it. I go to the store and I'm looking for something, and I'll spend like 20 minutes just wasting time looking. Instead of just asking the clerk, hey, do you know where the sugar is? And I want to let you know something today, that when we pray, When we talk to God, God will direct our lives. God will give us the place where we need to be. God will tell you if this is for you or this is not for you. And you have to say, you know what, God? If you tell me this, I'm going to obey you. Why? Because God knows all things. Did you know that? God knows all things. God is all powerful. He holds the world in his hands. I want to let you know, God is not concerned about what's going on in our world today. God is not concerned about this future that we see. We're frantic. The news reports are going, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Right? But God is in heaven relaxing. Why? Because he wrote out our future already. The plan is already in place. And God says, who will look to me? Who will look for my guidance? And I will protect you and I will show you your future. Why should we look? We talked about that because God is all knowing, all seeing, right? As we journey. The other thing is that God has a plan for us, and it's a plan filled with a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11 reads, you could go to the next slide. Yeah. Jeremiah states this, it says, for I know the what? The plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? And not to what? Plans to give you a what? In the future. How many of you like that plan? Say amen. I like that plan. I'll take that plan all day. You see, because God is not in this thing where he wants us to guess or to say, oh, I don't know what the future. God says, you want to know what the future holds? Pray to me. And when God was speaking, he was speaking to the children of Israel. They were in a place where, you know what? The future didn't seem too bright for them. But God declares this. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. That in the midst of all of the chaos, I know I am God and I know the plans that I have. They're already set up. They're already aligned. But God is saying, will you pray? Will you seek my face? Will you turn from your ways, your crooked ways? Because all of our ways are crooked, myself included. You know what? All of my ways are crooked. And as I look to God, God straightens me out. Without God, I think I'm the most handsome, most smartest, most strongest man to ever live. I know you're laughing. It's not a joke. My wife has to remind me. She said, you know what? You need to calm down now. Right? But thank God for his word. And God reminds me. He said, you know what? You don't have all the answers. You don't have everything figured out. But I, the Lord God, knows the future. I don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes from now. But God says, I know the plans that I have for your life. And it's a plan to what? To prosper you. It's a plan to what? Give you a hope and a future. God wants to give us a hope and a future, something that we can look forward to in our lives. Every day that we live, we can live in hope. In the midst of all that's going wrong, all the chaos in our society, we can look to God and say, God, thank you. As I look to you, I see my hope. I see my future. Your body may be failing you. You may have health challenges. You may have financial challenges. You may have relationship challenges. But God says, if you look to me, there will be a hope. There will be a future for you, says God. I want to encourage you today that you may be going through whatever storms, whatever situations today. If you pray, God will give you a plan and a future. He will give it to you. And you know what? God must have known that we would struggle with this thing called finding his will. And that's why he gave us this story in 2 Chronicles 20, one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. It's this story of King Jehoshaphat. And King Jehoshaphat is this king of Judah with, you know, he has a small nation, right? But he's a king. And he gets this report that says, you know what? Your enemies are coming. And not only one enemy, you know, that would be something that we can handle. You know, finance is okay. But not only are your finances in trouble, now sickness has come. And not only sickness, man, give me a break here. People don't like you at your job. And I said, well, God, would you let up? Will you give me a break? Anybody here today would just say, God, just let up a little bit? Give me a break, Lord. And I know that feeling. And, you know, in this story, King Jehoshaphat says, you know what? We have to pray. The time that we live in, ladies and gentlemen, we just have to pray because life is so overwhelming. How many of you could receive the raise this year? You got a raise? Well, some people were, yeah, you got a raise. But somebody was telling me, the financial reports were saying, you know what, if you got a raise this year, you lost it because of inflation. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, Lord, can we just get a break? You're so excited about that raise. That extra $5 you got. It's all going now to gas. And everything's going to gas. Like, oh. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, you know, gas has gone up a little bit. She says, no, gas didn't go up. It doubled. And I was like, you know, you're right. Yeah, it doubled. So we are all surrounded by trouble. We're all going through our different things. And this is what Jehoshaphat did. Even though he was the king of Israel, he was high and mighty. And when he walked into the room, people stood up and people loved him and people adored him. And he was honored in his society. But Jehoshaphat says, hold on a minute. With all of the knowledge and all of the skills that I have to go do something. We have to pray as a nation. And you know what? I thank God for our pastors because what? They're saying, you know what? As a church, we have to pray. We have to seek the face of God because we're in times that we've never been in before. We can't chart this out and say, well, we can do this. We can strategize. We can go here. We can go there. No. We have to look to God. God has positioned society or this world in a place where now we have to look to God. If you don't look to God, I don't know how you're going to make it. Not trying to scare you, but it's just, oh my gosh, can we just let up? And God is saying, do not be afraid. Pray. Look to me. And this is what King Jehoshaphat does in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20:12 reads and says, O Jehovah our God, we don't what? And I know as Americans, I know in the society we live in, we have to know everything, right? And you don't have to say amen, I know. And even if we don't know, we pretend, right? It's like walking in the grocery aisle and just pretending. Why? Because it's a sense of pride. It's a sense of ownership. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm American. I know everything. I know what's going to happen. I got my 401k. I got everything now. You right? My future's okay. My future's bright. In Israel, the land of Judah, the Israelites, they didn't know what to do. Because at one point, they had everything together. But now they're at a place where they don't know what to do. And guess what? If you don't know what to do today, you're in a good place. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. Because there are some times when my wife comes to me and says, here's the bill. And I go, that's what I do. She comes, this is the bill. I go. I said, Lord, it's you. You're my provider. You're my king. I need nothing else. He says, oh, Jehovah, we don't know what to do. We are helpless against this large army. And it could be something in your life right now that's so large that you just can't defeat it. It's not a little argument at your job. You know, you can handle that Susie girl over there. You can handle your boss over here. But now it's gotten to a place where it's just overwhelming. The sickness in your body, at one point, you could control it, but now you're at a place where the doctors say, we don't have an answer. We can feel helpless. And what Jehoshaphat did was he prayed. He says, we are helpless against this large army, but our what? But our eyes. Our eyes are on you, Lord. We're not going to take our eyes off of you. Our focus will be on you, God. Because you're the God who can do all things. And you know what? There's some of us in this room today who feel the pressure because everybody goes to you. You're the go-to. Hey, help me with this. Hey, help me with that. And God is saying, hey, you better look to me because you're not God. And you will burn out. Jehoshaphat, as all of these people were looking to him because he's the king, he's supposed to know everything, he humbly confessed, I don't have all the answers. My eyes are on you. As a nation, our eyes are on you, Lord. We don't know what to do. Help us with this large army that has come against us. Today, I want to give you 3 steps to finding the will of God for your life. Because guess what? In the midst of all that's going on in our life, we still have to discern or detect or determine what God is saying to us so that we can find that hope and that future. Step one was what? Jehoshaphat sought the Lord for guidance. Seek the Lord for guidance. Search out. Find out what God is saying about the situation you're in. Is it trust? Is it wait? Is it be still? What is it? But God is saying something to all of us today, and we have to seek his guidance. We have to seek his wisdom because why? He is the God who holds the future and has given us a hope, and he has a plan for our lives. We can't figure it out on our own. We can't figure it out. And it's okay to be in that place because why? It's a place of trust. It's a place to say, you know what, Lord? I've looked and searched everywhere else. There's no one that can do what you can do. Here we are. We look to you, Lord. And as we look to God for guidance, he will be the one to guide us. He will be the one to show us what the answers are. I love this. I says, although I have here in my notes, I says, although Jehoshaphat was the most important person in his nation, he realized that God had all the knowledge and power for his situation. You know, sometimes we think that God is just a Sunday experience. No, God is a Monday through Saturday, 24 hours, 7 days a week experience. It may look like you're surrounded, but you're surrounded by God. And when we look to God, you may be surrounded by all kinds of problems and all kinds of situations. But when you look to God, God's presence will surround you and keep you. I love that. Jehoshaphat knew that if he didn't humbly ask God for his counsel, he would be responsible for the results of not speaking to God. Think about that for a moment. Whatever the results were, he would be responsible. It's not that God didn't have the answer, but will you seek for my guidance? You know, I know when I was a teenager, when I was in my 20s, and I still do it in my 40s, there are times when I just don't want to ask for counsel. I just want to be my own man, be my own boss. I'm going to make my own decisions. And you know what I said this year? I said, you know what? My New Year's resolution is I'm going to ask my wife first. That's my New Year's resolution. I know. There are times where I say, you know what? I'm 44 years old. I'm grown. I got a beard, and it's gray. I don't need to ask nobody. Right? And I have a little dip in my step. Yeah, I'm a man. And you know that every time I don't ask my wife, 9 times out of 10, I'm like, oh, that was a regret. And even more so, I say, Lord, when I'm about to make a decision, I need to ask you for your guidance, for your wisdom. I'm about to make this decision, Lord. Is this okay? And one of the things I do to seek God's guidance, I always say this. I say, Lord, if this is your will, open the door. If it's not your will, close it. I give you permission. Please close this door. And that's my prayer. And it may look exciting. It may look good. It may look, oh, man, this is great. Nobody's going to get hurt. People at church will still love me. I'm going for it. But you didn't consult God. You didn't give God permission. And you know, God is such a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. You know what? He's not going to force himself in your life. Know that. God loves us. His love is an everlasting love. His love is an eternal love. His love is a gentle love. He's Superman. He can come in any situation and save it, but he always waits for permission. He's always waiting to see who would say, God, I need your help. And then he'll come. He's waiting for us. He wants to guide us. Here's a question. Are we willing to admit that you need God's guidance? Although this was a military battle, Jehoshaphat knew that this battle could not be won with physical weapons. With our physical abilities, we're limited. You trying to pay down your debt, you trying to fix your marriage, guess what? Those are physical weapons. And yes, you need to be there for your wife. You need to do some physical things. But ultimately, it comes from God's strength. God is the one who will give you the strength and guidance and wisdom on how to love, on how to fix your finances, on how to fix your body. Whatever it is, God can give us the guidance and wisdom we need. But the question is, will we look to him? Will we admit that, Lord, I can't do this on my own? What is that situation that you're going through today that you say, you know what, God, I can't do this without you? Are you looking to God? Are you overwhelmed? It says here, it may look like the enemy has surrounded us, but when we pray, we are surrounded by his presence. When we talk to God about our future, we are declaring that God's ability is greater than our government, our military, and any other place we can place our trust for a better future. And I know that we live in U.S. of A, and we're a superpower, and we have all of this protection, so we feel. But I want to let you know that our trust should not be in our government, should not be in our 401ks. It should be in Almighty God. When we are feeling hopeless and overwhelmed about our future, we can talk to God because why? He will guide us to victory. And victory is not having 4 houses. Victory is what? The peace of God. Victory is what? Knowing that God will always be with me. Are you going through a battle today? God is asking us today, will you seek for his guidance and prayer? Let's continue in the story. It says here in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. Next slide. Jehovah listened. Hold on a minute. Let me hear. Jehovah did what? So for those out there who believe that God doesn't answer prayer or that God doesn't hear, the word of God says that Jehovah did what? If you hear me, touch your ear. Say, God did what? Touch your ears. Everybody touch your ear. As a reminder, sometimes we have to do these things. God does what? God listens to us. Isn't that awesome? That's a mic drop moment. God listens. You could just go home right now. God listens to me when I pray. That's it. And he told his servants. So not only did God listen, but he told the servants. We're going to get into that. The battle is not what? The battle is not yours. Stop trying to fight the battles that God can only win. Did you hear that? Stop trying to fight the battles that only God can win. When are you going to give up and let God do it? It says the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to do what? There's some of us right now fighting in our minds. How can I fix this marriage? How can I fix this job? How can I fix this body? How can I fix this? God says rest. The battle is not what? The battle is not yours. It's God's. And if I'm screaming, it's because I'm excited about God. Don't get... He's yelling at me. No, I'm like, God, you answer prayer. You listen. Just watch and see what? How? Oh, my God. I'm ready to go home. How many of you ready to go home? Come on. I know you're quiet, but listen, I'm ready to go. Just watch and see how Jehovah will what? Save you. In other words, grab a chair and get some popcorn. Get some popcorn because you're about to see an action film that's going to blow your mind. It's how God is going to deliver you. It's how God is going to turn the situation around. You thought you were going to go down, but you're not going down. You thought you were going to go under. You're not going to go under. God is going to give you victory. You don't know how. Just like when you turn on that movie, you don't know how this person is going to win, but you know it's going to win. We've watched enough Disney movies. We know how the story. The person always wins, but we don't know how. And as a believer and as a child of God, when we trust God and we focus on God and we seek his guidance, we are guaranteed that we will win. All you have to do is what? Sit down, get your popcorn, and watch the movie. Next slide. Right? I got excited there for a moment. Forgive me for that. But it says, did you hear that? It said, God listened and gave God. Not only did he give the children of Israel, what? Relief from fighting the war. He gave them what? Guidance. It says here, God gives us guidance when we what? When we pray. But we have to what? This is the tough part. We have to surrender our will, which leads us to step two. We have to surrender our will and obey. Step two is what? Surrender your will. Woo! This one is a tough one. I know it's a tough cookie to bite. But when you bite into it, it's good. Because while our will sometimes goes above the will of God, sometimes our way and what we want goes against God. And we say, you know what, God? I know what you're saying, but dang, he looked good. Dang, that money he be dropping when we at the restaurant. Telling you, God, I know what you're saying. I'm going to have to leave my church. I'm going to have to leave ministry. But dang, that pay is good. $50 an hour, Lord? Ooh, sorry. Surrender your will. You know, the word of God has spoken to you. I don't know anybody's story in here. But I could only imagine if it's either relationship, it's either finances or something that's what causing you to say, the will of God, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that word, but no. Seek the Lord for guidance. Surrender your will. Can you imagine that the children of Israel spend all that time, Lord, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. Oh, God, we're in trouble. Oh, God, my life is in shambles. God says, here's the answer. Sit down. Eat the popcorn. The movie is telling you, rest in me. Trust me. Allow me to fight your battles. And you get up and you go, mm-mm. And you pick back up those problems and you go on with your day. The children of Israel, imagine they said, you know what, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. God says, this battle is not yours. All you have to do is see the salvation. You go, all right, commanders, get the sheet out. Let's see what we got to do here now. No. We have to fight. We got to do this on our own. We're tough. We're strong. No, they trusted God. Can I get an amen? I know. Amen. When we pray and God gives us instructions on how to win, we still have a choice if we will listen. Everybody touch your ear. That's going to help you. Touch your ear. We have a choice if we will listen. As I said before, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you. He loves us so much. And as much as I love my kids, I can't force them. And my son is 18 years old, and I love him, and I go, do this. And he has a choice. And I go, oh, I told to you already. I told you. Nah. If you listen to me, I've been on this earth longer than you. And God is saying the same thing. If you would listen, your life will be less stressful. You will not be known as the drama queen or the drama king. You'll be known as a man and a woman of peace. And I know that because I know there are times when I can be dramatic. My wife says, come on, Glenn. There are times when I could be a drama king. And life, it feels like the end of the world. God says, well, if you just rest and let it ride, you'll see my salvation. You have a choice. To listen to God means that what? I surrender my will for God's way. I want to let you know that our pastors have received a word from God. And the word is to do what? To listen and to pray. To come out and pray and seek the face of God. The question is, are you still trying to use your human effort to plan your future? God is telling you to pray. You see, the word for the house is that we are in a season of prayer and that calling everybody. If you can come out, pray. Seek the face of God. And I want to let you know something. I know I'm a pastor. I know, you know, a part of that is prayer and seeking the face of God. But there's just been this call from God when pastor said, you know, it's time to pray, that God says, no, you need to go deeper in prayer. And I'm going to let you know something. My life has been transformed already. I'm starting to see the miracles of God in my personal life. There's a peace that I've not had in a long time because I'm just in this deep place of prayer. And it's all because of what? The obedience of my pastor. Obedience to my pastors. I said, you know what? I will surrender my time. I will give it up. There are things, there are shows that I want to watch. You're going to get an amen. There are, yes. Yeah, I know I'm a pastor, but there are shows that I have on DVR that are lined up. We could be truthful, right? We could be transparent. And is the battle of the will of God, will I do your will and come and pray, or will I do my will and watch this and have this thing to do and that thing to do? And I'm not knocking those who have to work. I get it. But even having that heart and say, you know what, I'm going to whisper those prayers during my break, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to do what I have to do. The plan is in place for this house. And God is challenging us as a people to pray. I have here this question. I says, what would happen if we would align our will by making prayer a priority with our leaders in the church on Wednesdays and Thursdays? What would happen in your life? I'm telling you, God has miracles aligned. God has signs and wonders that he wants to do. But will we pray? Will we align? Will we surrender our will and begin to pray and seek the face of God? You see, because your plans are limited. But when we pray and when we seek the face of God, God will enhance those plans. God will enhance those prayers. You will go further in your marriage. You will go further in your relationships because why? You've prayed. Jehoshaphat aligned his will to what God had instructed him. The Bible tells us that God instructed Jehoshaphat to put what? Put the singers out front. Let's continue. Oh, okay, yeah. All right, I'm all over here. No, but it's okay. In that story, Jehoshaphat is instructed to do what? To put the singers out front. And that, you know what? That plan doesn't seem all too well because in warfare, you would usually put who out in front? The people with the guns, the people with the spears, the people with the shield. That's who goes out. And you know what? The singers are just like your inspiration. Like, all right, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. You're hearing the Rocky music, you're getting hyped up. You're getting the warriors all hyped up. You're getting them ready for the fight. Yeah, let's go. But no. God says, instead of putting the people who are going to fight in the front, put the singers out front. And what God was saying was that what? Prayer and praise should always go before you. And when you pray and when you praise God, God will fight the battles for you. Many times we want to fight with our words. We want to fight with our mind. We want to fight with our looks. I can't do any stink looks up here today. I don't know. I'm in the zone. I can't think of my stink looks. But you imagine those stink looks you give to people who get on your nerves. We want to fight and do all these things with our physical. God says, when you pray and praise me, I will fight the battles for you. You will always have a victorious future. Why? Because you've prayed and praised me. So he instructed them, put the what? Put the singers out front. And I said, you know, it didn't seem like a good plan on paper, but the Israelites did what? They surrendered to the will of God. And because they saw the victory that was ahead, they, you know, maybe they were like, you know what? This sounds a little crazy, but you know what? God is God. God has never lost a battle. Do you realize that God has never lost? I know some of you don't believe it. You check the Bible. God has never lost. God never loses. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, God already had a plan for victory in place for the human race. God can't lose. And when God says, pray and praise me, I'm going to lead you in battle. You're going to be victorious. Which leads me to this place here in Proverbs 3:5. It says here, the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Next slide. See the plan of God for your life. You see, when you seek the Lord for guidance and you surrender your will, you'll see God's plan. That's the step three. That's step three for you. When I surrender, I'll see it. But if you're caught up with my will versus God's will, you won't see it. Because you're so confused. Because you're battling your will versus God's will. God says, no, surrender your will and you'll see the plan of God for your life. Next slide. God's encouraging us today. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform. Do not follow the ways of this world. If you want to see the plan of God, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. Let's take a moment today. How do you think about God? Is God just some person in a genie bottle or just somebody that I call on occasionally? God is encouraging us today to change the way we think about him. He's all powerful. He's almighty. He can do it. If he said it, it can be done. I have to trust him. So that what? You may prove and leave no doubt what the will of God is, and which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's God's will for us. That's what happens when we pray. That's what happens when we surrender our will for God's way. We'll see the plan of God, and it's a perfect plan. It's a perfect plan. It's without fault. It's faultless. It's not a guessing game. It's not an if, but, or maybe. Discerning the will of God says that if I put him first, I will be successful. I will be victorious. At this time, I'm going to just close out. And I know that life can sometimes be challenging as far as finding the will of God for our life. It can almost seem like we're in a forest. But I want to give you these encouraging words today on how to find the will of God. Make sure that first you make sure your desire lines up with God's word. Whatever that desire may be today, whatever your desire, that promotion on a job, that new relationship, that promotion, whatever it is, make sure it lines up with God's word. And the other part I want to tell you is as you are aligning the will of God for your life, make sure that you seek counsel. Speak to your pastors. Speak to your spouse. Speak to others who are more seasoned, who have been in that same place, and watch the will of God unfold for your life. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today.